Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining me now, senior NFL writer from Yahoo Sports. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. You need to be reading his columns, following him on Snapchat, Instagram. The guy puts out content everywhere, and he holds it down at the Yahoo NFL podcast with Charles Robinson. It is, of course, my man Therese Paylor back on CBS Sports Radio. Therese, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Danny? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I will start the conversation with you how I started the show tonight. Mm-hmm. What the hell is going on with Antonio Brown?
Oh man, it's a if you're a Raider fan, like, this is a nightmare. I don't care like how many different ways you try to spin it. Like, it's a helmet. Put the helmet on. Like, I guess guys get attached to their helmet. People around the league are smirking at this, you know? On the field, you watch the tape. Like, last year, Antonio Brown is worth a first-round pick because he's always open. And the Steelers gave him up for a third and a fifth, so that probably tells you something. Like, they were just finished. They were just done. And I didn't think that they would start having problems like this early. So I think Mike Mayock is someone who really doesn't suffer fools like that, even though he made this trade. So what he said today, like, I mean, this is like a, hey, you know, let's go. Like, this is a line in the sand moment for the Raiders. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
So let me be honest with you. You know, I've got my theories. I find this so absurd that it almost makes me uncomfortable, because I want to say, like, Antonio Brown's crazy, but then I'm like, football actually can make people crazy. Like, there's no way he gives up $30 million after fighting for those new guarantees over a helmet unless something's actually wrong. Like, have you talked to anyone that has any logical explanation for what's going on right now?
I know what you're hitting at. And that is something that I think people kind of like privately wonder, you know. Like, no one's going to put their name to that, you know, but, you know, it's certainly something where you're just like, what's going on with this guy? Like, this is weird. Everything about it has been weird. And look, it's a discussion point. Like, you see it on Twitter. Like, people are like quietly talking about it. I don't know. I'm not really here to confirm that, because I don't know it. And I'm not here to rule anything out. I don't know what's going on with him, but I do know that if the pattern of behavior like this continues, it's going to damage that football team, because no one has time for this. This actively gets in the way of everything it takes to win in a league that's this competitive.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like the Raiders could say, hey, you're in breach of contract, and they would win their grievance. So it seems to me like either Antonio Brown plays in a new helmet or he forfeits $30 million. Right? There's no door number three here.
Pretty much, man. I think you got that right on the head. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with this situation, because, you know, patience is clearly running low. And you know what? It should be.
Like, yes,
they're trying to win ball games here. And instead of talking about how Derek Carr looks with Tyrell Williams, you know, or Antonio Brown, we're talking about a helmet, and it's been a thing. It's a distraction. Like, this is getting old, and it's not a coincidence Mayock said that today. Because, like, pretty soon, like, these games are going to start mattering, and no one's going to have time to be wondering about stuff like this.
Therese Paylor, terrific NFL reporter and columnist for Yahoo Sports, with us on the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio. Another big picture thing. I look at all of the box scores from all of these preseason games, and I marvel at the differences in how NFL coaches are approaching this. Sean McVay, once again, no starters in the preseason. He did it last year. The Rams go to the Super Bowl. Matt Nagy basically not playing any starters either side of the ball, any snaps in the preseason. And then you've got smart coaches. You got Andy Reid playing Pat Mahomes. You got Dan Quinn in Atlanta letting Matt Ryan take five hits and sacked three times playing late into the second quarter in his 12th year in the damn league. Like, I can just tell
your disgust. That is
it's
so
disgust. Disgusted.
You can't even hide it.
Therese, it's malpractice to play these guys. Like, and Belichick does it. But we know we're going in a direction of less preseason, and we know that health matters. What the hell are these coaches doing risking veteran players in the preseason? I don't get it.
See, Danny, like back in the day, like me and Danny kind of came up in the business together a little bit in Kansas City. And you know, like I'm kind of old school and stuff, you know.
Yes.
But I'm also a little bit more advanced and evolved than you think. If I were an NFL head coach, my starters would not play. I'm a guy, like, I would love for them to figure out a way to just do, like, joint practices and eliminate preseason games altogether. Because think of, like, how awesome, like, college football's opening weekend is. It's the first glimpse of these teams you really get. And it's great. It's just glorious. I would love to see the NFL kind of, like, do the same thing. I know that's complicated. Like, this tape helps guys, helps, like, scouting departments fill out their practice squad. I get all that.
Well,
all
and these games make money. Like, these games make money.
And these games make money. But maybe they could charge even more if you just eliminated these garbage games anyway. But look, that's not what you asked. Look, if I were NFL head coach, my starters would not play. Like Patrick Mahomes doesn't need more work, in my opinion. You know, like Matt Ryan doesn't need more work. You know, you can work on these things and practice in a red jersey.
But it's so – isn't it interesting that we are – so far apart on this? Like, this is a copycat league, and I guarantee you we will have old school coaches playing starters into the second half of the third preseason game, and we will have new school coaches playing them zero snaps. That's crazy, man.
Gotta get ready for the season. I don't know what you want me to say to that. No, listen, I don't look. It's a 16-game season. I don't think these guys really need to work like that. I bet you, like in 10 years, like nobody's playing meaningful starters in these games. Like this is the type of stuff that just takes like a while for everyone to realize. Oh, that kind of makes sense. Oh, you know that maybe that's what we should be doing. Like McVay's ahead of the curve on that, and I think in 10 years, like no one would be playing guys that matter really.
If I was a Falcons fan, I would have rioted after that game against the Jets. It was malpractice. So we're talking to Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. Oh, it's infuriating. It's so illogical. It pisses me off. So you've been at 12 training camps now, or you're in Buffalo for your 12th. What's the most interesting thing you've seen or heard?
Oh, man. That's the great thing about these tours. There's so much. Well, Lamar Jackson and then, like, I had someone mention the triple option to me in Baltimore's scheme. Like, they're really going to be creative with how they run the football. Another really good tidbit. Like, I think Rodgers and LaFleur, like, that could go south if they lose and stuff because Rodgers is pretty hard-headed, but – or at least headstrong is probably the better, you know. And if things start going the wrong way, he'll see it. It's on him to fix it. But I think early on, those guys are good. Like, they've had Scots together. Like, they've hung out. Like, I think those guys are okay. One of the best things about getting up to Green Bay was just seeing the difference in personalities. Like, LaFleur is kind of like an easygoing guy. I think he's a little pliable. And I think when you got, like, a quarterback that knows what he wants to do and is this accomplished, I don't think that's a bad thing, especially the first year. I feel really good about where the Packers are headed. And I think this year, like, there's no way they go 6-9-1 again. And this is Aaron freaking Rodgers. I think they're positioned pretty good to at least compete for the division and probably make the playoffs.
Yeah, I have that as my most interesting story in the NFL. I know we've talked about that.
You were on point about that. Yeah,
I just think it's fascinating. Like Rodgers could have 5+ years left of elite level quarterbacking, and they turned it over to a guy who's never been a head coach before. That's just – it's such a bold swing that I feel like the range of outcomes is very, very wide.
And I think it's going to be fascinating kind of to see what happens with that division, because, I mean, three teams can win it, really, you know? The Bears, the Vikings, and the Packers are all kind of in the mix, so they're going to beat each other up. You know, I think that one's going to come down a little bit to luck, because all three could easily win it.
He's Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports, at Therese Paylor on Twitter. I retweeted your Lamar Jackson Baltimore Ravens column. I thought it was really interesting because they're talking big over there, and I know this is a guy that fantasy people carry a lot about, but in your article, there was a comp from Lamar Jackson to Pat Mahomes. Did I read that right? Like what is the ceiling of that guy in your mind?
So let's be clear about that.
It wasn't from you.
Yeah, okay. Because I like Lamar. Like, he was my oldest quarterback a couple years ago. But, like, Pat and him are, like, different, man. Like, Lamar's way more dynamic with his feet, but Patrick can do, like, a little bit of everything, and that's special. That's just more, like, in their ability to, like, Willie Snead brought that up, like, as an example of the way they think that they believe Lamar can, like, change the game as, like, a complete player. And I'm glad that they have that type of confidence in the player. Like, good for them to having that type of confidence in the teammate. And I'll also say this. Sometimes you go to these places and guys kind of offer a little tepid kind of endorsements of teammates or players that they're coaching, but you don't get that here with this guy. They really believe in Lamar Jackson here, man, and in Baltimore, and they're really excited to see what he can do there. He's really well liked by his teammates. I think people there have completely bought into Lamar, and they're not even really stopping themselves short of like big platitudes and stuff, which is typically like a pretty good sign.
Yeah, it's a great sign, and he's another guy that I think has a wide range of outcomes. Did you go to Indy? Was that one of your camp stops?
It was.
So that's another team that I think is just unbelievably well run, but now has this Andrew Luck thing that wrenches their whole season potentially. Do you like them this year?
I like them if Luck is healthy. I think Chris Ballard is one of the best GMs in football already, and I think if Luck plays 13 games, like, they make the playoffs again, they win the division. They should. I mean, they went last year to like the divisional round without like a stud defensive lineman that people knew about. DeNico Autry is actually going to have another big season, but I do like the Colts if Luck is healthy. If he's not, I don't think it's going to be a repeat of 2017. You know, Jacoby Brissett's going to be better than he was then, and I think it's an 8-18. You know, so I think, you know, even the worst case scenario is not horrible. It's like a 7-9, 8-18. But for them to obviously reach their potential, they need Andrew Luck. And, you know, whether or not he's going to be healthy, I really don't know. I don't know. I think that division's a little more interesting than maybe we thought it would be, especially if the Jaguars get off to a good start, right? I think Nick Foles changes that team because they just very clearly gave up on Blake Bortles. I think they broke, you know, I think that team just kind of fell off after that Chiefs game last year. So, yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting division if Andrew's not healthy.
Therese, I want to ask you something that I've asked any smart football person I've come across this training camp, including Matt Nagy when I had him on my show in Chicago.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Last year, we saw a record number of RPOs. We saw more offenses run a higher percentage of plays out of the shotgun. We saw teams go for two a little bit more, go for it on fourth down a little bit more. I'm curious what you think is next. Like where we know that offensive football, we're in the midst of a revolution of like the spread into the league, RPOs looking more like college, that sort of thing, largely because of the rules, talent, a whole bunch of factors. What do you think is considered radical now that 5-10 years from now will be commonplace?
I actually do believe, like, when you, like, look at the numbers, like, just going for it on fourth down, like, teams are going to do that just more. And they're not going to be so scared about momentum and all that stuff, you know? Like, when you look at the numbers, it kind of just makes sense to just go for it, especially if you're throwing four times. And that's actually another thing. Like, throw the ball on first down, you know? Like, I think
teams are throwing the ball more than ever, but I kind of wonder if we're ever going to get to a point where A, teams just basically default as they go for it on fourth down, and B, they just treat it like arena football. Like, we're going to throw, like, every down. And if we don't throw, it's going to be like a draw play. You know, just completely maximize the passing game as long as the rules are the way they are. I think that'd be kind of interesting.
I do too, and what's fascinating about it is that Andy Reid is leading this offensive revolution, and he got run out of Philly because people were mad that he was throwing the ball too much, and he wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's he was so clearly right and ahead of the time in Philly, and now everyone's copying Andy Reid and throwing instead of running.
The only thing I'll say, because you're looking for the inefficiency. So remember how, like, Moneyball was about finding, like, on-base percentage and, like, people just associated that with Moneyball? That, like, that's not Moneyball. But the Moneyball is the inefficiency in exploiting it before everyone else can figure it out.
Yep.
And the one organization we know, like, is just adept at this is New England. And I was at all their playoff games after the AFC Championship. I was at the championship game and Super Bowl. And, like, dude, they were running the ball. And in a way, that was kind of the inefficiency in January for them. Throwing to the running back, that's the inefficiency you can kind of exploit. That's, like, the only thing that kind of just makes me a little – because I don't know – like, what happens when all these defenses start adjusting and, like, their base is nickel and it's two linebackers, three corners? Well, if you have an 11th player on offense – that's a dynamic run threat, or he can run, or he can run block and catch, and they have to account for it. That kind of changes the advantage. It's about finding the advantage. So I think teams are going to keep trying to look for that in special players that can do more. Because the more this is obvious, but the more special players you have that can do a lot of things, the more difficult it is to match up, and the more unpredictable it makes you.
Listen to this man's podcast with Charles Robinson. It's the Yahoo NFL podcast. He is at Therese Paylor on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Find him. Read his columns. Give this man a click. He deserves it. Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.